So I've got three words for you, or three expressions. Get up, brush yourself down, and try again. Just get up, brush yourself down, and try again. And if I was bold enough, the title that I'd put up right now is Failure is Not an F Word. Failure is not an optional extra. Failure is a necessity, because the road to success is paved with failure. But I don't know whether a toddler falling over is actually a toddler failing. And I'm just wondering whether, in your analysis of your life, I wonder whether you've actually failed or whether you've given it a go. I wonder whether you failed or whether it's just the spirit of adventure that got you out of the living room and got you into the land. And I just wonder whether it was a part of you training for reigning. I wonder whether you falling over was a part of you becoming the next Usain Bolt just in your toddler years. I wonder whether your life right now are the beginning stages of incredible success, but it looks like failure. You just need to get up, just brush yourself down, try again. Now, we sent recently, like a couple of years ago, we sent 7 people to Kuala Lumpur, right? Which is like everyone's saying, where's Kuala Lumpur? Because no one in England knows where it is, right? And so we sent, led by a 23-year-old, to Kuala Lumpur. I had to show everybody where it was on the map. And we parachuted them in a couple of years ago to start Hope City Church, KL. Now, they're doing pretty well, but let me say this, right? Even if they fail, even if the whole thing collapses in a couple of years' time, they are going to come back to the United Kingdom as utter heroes, legends of the faith. Whether they succeed or whether they failed, they gave it a go. Them going was the sign of a mighty attempt. And I would say it's the same in your lives, that there are cheers from heaven right now over the history of your life. When you look at it in misery and in embarrassment, God looks at somebody who gave it a go, who tried it out. And you know, the best stories are the stories that come out of failure. I want to hear about preachers' faux pas when I meet with preachers. You know, not how many people they saw healed, but how many mistakes they made. Because it's just the better kind of story. And if they come back and they fail, then I'll say, tell us about your failure one more time. And I would say that the one thing that we've done, that Hope City Church has done, is we've untangled ourselves from the fear of failure. And I would think that your potential is instantly doubled. If you could just untangle yourself, if you could just reinterpret what's actually gone on in your life, and if you could eliminate or at least demobilize, or at least untangle yourself from the tentacles of the fear of failure. In the 80s and 90s, the word prosperity was huge. I rarely use the word prosperity because I've replaced it with the word adventure. And the word adventure, it just means achieving destiny. But there's some kind of danger associated with it. And that danger is part of the spice of life, the excitement of life. You know, God wants to prosper us. He wants to provide for us along the journey of achieving great things in God. But you've got to get out of the harbor, get into the high seas, and get some excitement back into your life. You got to bring the risk factor back into your life. You got to banish the fear of failure and start putting some wind in your sails once again. Join us on the great adventure with the great discoverers of great unknown lands that the world has yet to see. With the Christopher Columbuses of our generation. If ever you see a shipwreck, it's the sign that an adventure has been around. Whenever you see seeds scattered on hard soil, it's a sign a farmer's been around. whenever you see a pile of relationships that no longer work, relationships that have lied abandoned, it's a sign that a lover of people's been around. Every failure in your life is a sign of a great attempt. How amazing are you? It's just the difference between me and you is I've just got up, brushed myself off, and started again. I've failed 7 times, but I've got up 8. I've fallen 7 times, but I've risen 8. Success is getting up one more time than you got knocked down. And Thomas Edison was like, he's kind of like the Steve Jobs of the 1800s, and he created the electric light bulb, the battery, the record player. He invented the world's first power station. Did I mention battery pack? He's just an amazing inventor. And his invention laboratory was called Melno Park, and it was in New Jersey, and it covered two city blockfuls. And they reckon in some parts of the building that were like 5 or 6 stories high, that all of the inventions that didn't work, he used to just throw them out the window. And outside, some of the windows were like two-story mounds of junk. But the mounds of junk were a sign that an inventor was in operation, that somebody was attempting to do great things. And the mound of junk outside your heart is a sign and a wonder. There's an inventor, there's an inventor, there's an adventurer. There's somebody who's rising from the ashes, daring to do great things. You've got to have a pile of junk outside of the doorway of your heart. Some people are too successful because they narrow down their friendships to the same 3 people they have Chinese with every Friday night. They're too successful in business. They've become a legend in their lounge room. Most churches are too successful. They go from success to success to success, and that's not natural. It's the right thing to have success, then failure, then success, then failure. But to be too successful is an abomination to the Spirit of God, because it means you've lost your risk factor. It means you're now living in a safe but small world. Some of you reduced your world so every week it's successful. You know it'll be successful because you and your BFFs. And you've joined this church to knock down the walls of your protectionism, to get you back onto the highway of true success. Welcome to the land of failure that will lead to the greatest land of success you've ever seen in the history of your life. I'm not here to protect myself from it. I'm here to fail double in the next 12 months than I've ever failed before, because I'm going to attempt double, because I've set myself free from the tentacles of the fear of failure. The only thing you need to do is just like 3 things. Get up. Just get back up. Brush yourself down. Try again. There's a reporter that came up to Thomas Edison and said, "Do you feel like failing? Do you kind of feel like giving up in all that you've done? Do you feel like, you know, you've been trying to invent a simple light bulb? Why don't you just give up?" And this is what Thomas Edison said. He said, "Why would I feel like a failure, and why would I ever give up? For I now know that there's definitely 8,999 ways that electric light bulb doesn't work. He says, success is almost in my grasp. Ta-da. Some of you are right now on 8,999. Why give up 5 minutes before the miracle? Why stop when you're on the pathway to incredible success? I got to read this scripture just before my main scripture from Proverbs 14, 14. It says, where there's no oxen in the store, the manger's empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. The same thing that created the mess in your life is the same thing that creates the magnificence in your life. Stop being so tidy and allow your life to mess up a little bit. Mess it up a little bit. Stop being so autistic and so OCD. And allow your world to be muddy. Because from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. And oxes poop everywhere. From poop comes potential. So this is what Jesus prophesied failure. And this is what Jesus said. He was talking about faith and he said this. And you know, when Jesus talked technically about faith, he said that if you could speak to the mountain, be lifted up, thrown to the sea, and believe in your heart and don't doubt, then it will be done. So technically, it's just a done deal. But whenever he talked about the faith life in parables, it wasn't as succinct. It was more approximate. There's more elbow room in the will of God than you give God credit for. And this is what Jesus said. He said, in describing the faith life, he said in Mark 4, 3 to 9, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Well, he's lost me there because I don't like farmers. Because I'm part of the microwave generation. I don't want a farming analogy. I want a manufacturing analogy. But Jesus sticks with agricultural terms that annoy the heck out of us. But he's trying to teach us something and use something about the kingdom of God. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it. Some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew and choked the plants so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and as it came up, grew and produced the crop, some multiplying 30 times, some 60, 100 times. So some seed, everyone say some seed. Some seed, see, some seed falls on shallow soil. Some seed falls on hard soil. Some seed falls on overcrowded soil. So why are you assessing your life in such a rigid way when Jesus prophesied that some seed will not succeed? What are you doing to yourself? Why are you prematurely crucifying yourself for something you never did wrong? Jesus did not prophesy 100% success with 100% of the seed that you've been given. But he did prophesy that some seed, the majority of it that eventually makes it to good soil, shall be multiplied minimum 30 times, maximum 100 times. If you get up just one more time than you fell. If you brush yourself off from negativity and regret and disappointment, if you try again, you are heading toward a minimum of 30 times. A minimum of 30 times. A maximum of 100 times. Let me just say that you know, sometimes we think some people in this world have got the Midas touch. Nobody on the entirety of planet Earth has ever had the Midas touch. It's just that you think they have. And it's only because when someone succeeds, it's like a tree, a shrub, that covers up the potholes of failure. Because the success overrides failure 30 to 1. So nobody's got the Midas touch. We are a church planting church, multi-site. The second plant that we've planted and we've rescued 17 locations of Hope City Church. But right now, Hope City Church is one church, 11 locations. So we've lost 3 locations and we've given back to autonomy 3 locations. But our first failure was in a place called Hull. We like to call it hell. On the east coast of England, a couple came over from Brisbane and because it battered them so hard that they eventually left and so the whole thing was folded after about a year and a half. And then we had a break. Then we started Hope City Manchester. And Hope City Manchester, that's now an autonomous church, has become the largest church Manchester seen for decades. For decades. Now, here's the moral. You've got to have a Hull before you have a Manchester. It's impossible to have a Manchester without having a Hull. Hull is part of the journey. You need to be proud of your scars because your scars are part of what made you who you are today. A lot of people think that Hillsong Church just has the Midas touch, but the first deliberately designed church plant of Hillsong Church was Hillsong Milan. Well, have you ever heard of that before? No, because it's buried. Because it didn't work. But you've got to have a Milan before you have a New York. Nobody goes from Sydney to New York without visiting Milan. But you see, that's your problem. As you think that everything's a directorate, but often it's not, most of living isn't zigzag, it's zag-zig. And some of you are in your zag. Think, what am I doing zagging? What ought to be zigging? Well, it's just because God loves to mess you around a bit so that it's not by might or by power or by talent or cleverness. It's by the Spirit of God. So there's an undoing of you and a doing up of the anointed you, getting you ready for the greatest years that your life has ever seen. The future of you and this church, minimum is 30 times. Am I preaching well or am I preaching brilliantly? You just got to, let me think about this. Get up. Thrash yourself down. Give it another go. You can do that. Success belongs to God, but steps belong to man. You can step out. It's not the pirouette of a good man. It's not the river dance of a good man. It's not the hop, skip, and the jump of a good man. It's the steps of a good man. You can do that. Come on, toddlers. Come on, 2-year-old Usain Bolts. We're going to get there. We're going to get onto the world track. but we're going to have some falls along the way. But if you never fall, you'll never feast on the success that God has for you. So get up one more time than you've fallen down. So here's some things I've learned from this parable of Jesus Christ. And number one is that everything depends in your life on where you draw the line. If you rated the life of Jesus Christ like 1 week before the cross, I would say he failed. Because he didn't have that many friends. And the disciples were dispersing very, very fast. And when Jesus is on the cross, only his mother turned up. And I'd expect my mum to turn up if I was on the cross. Because that's what mums do. Be a terrible mum if your mum didn't turn up. Really? Gosh. You can almost discard your mum. You'd expect her to be there. But no one else was there. So if you assess the life of Jesus too early and at the wrong time, which you do all the time, he failed. If you assess his life like 49 days or after the resurrection, again, he'd only shown himself to 500 people. And this is the Son of God. He's kind of got a church of 500. The greatest leader the world has ever seen has got a church of 500 people after everything that he imparted and planted in his 3 years of ministry. So I would say he's not very successful. But see, it's cruel putting the marker in the wrong place. It's cruel what you do to yourself. If you put the marker today, then over 1 billion people saved on planet Earth today, the gospel growing at a faster rate than Islam and every religion on the world today, people who are being driven out from hell's jaws, populating heaven, Jesus Christ is the most successful man the world has ever seen in its entire history. See what I did there? I just changed the marker. And Jesus did everything he did in 1/10 of his lifespan. See what I did just there? Changed the marker. He did zip all for 30 years. He just shoved it into the last 3 years. So if you're 57, imagine what God can do between 58 and 60. What God could do in 2 years is what you couldn't do in 2 decades. That's what this parable is saying. Number two is that failure needs rewarding. It needs rewarding. It's a sign of devotion. Hebrews 11:6 says that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Let me let you into the greatest failure of the ministry of Hope City Church. And it's a number of years ago, we decided to have a clothing exchange in the inner city of Sheffield, where John and Danielle came to visit, right? And so we thought it's the poorest area in all of England, right? And they chose a place on Airbnb that advertised itself falsely. And so they stayed in this area of Sheffield. And so we started a clothing exchange and I said, let's call it Mega Babe. Mega Babe, because it's for women. And so what would happen is that women would bring in their clothing, we'd sell it for them, and then we'd divide the profits. So we'd build relationship with the local community. And disaster struck immediately because there was like a Woolworth store that was built on the opposite side of the road immediately after we started. I thought, what's that? Oh, it's Woolworths, selling the cheapest clothes outright. So that was a little disaster. Secondly, the person who came to visit mostly was a transvestite. And the transvestite used to come down from the local state, right? And you spend hours trying on the women's clothes. And just, you know, like... I had a problem with my staff because they're all Christian women. They'd never lived in Soho. They hadn't heard of King's Cross. They didn't know what was going on, and so all of them resigned. So I thought, either I'm going to have to work there, or we're going to have to close the whole thing down. So we closed the whole thing down. And I realized that even the name was wrong. Like, people thought it was for, like, either for babies or for really large women. And so there was an amalgamation, consolidation of many failures. But you know, I've got a feeling that when I get to heaven, right, and I'm preempting this, when I get into the arena of heaven and Jesus Christ is rewarding each person according to what they've done, that he'll call me over. Gilpin, come on over here. He'll say, I'm going to reward you. And then I'll look at the big DVD player in the arena of heaven. And I'll see, it'll have nothing on it till I got saved, because all my sins are thrown, thankfully, into the sea of forgetfulness. And then all of a sudden there'll just be this flicker of a sign, Mega Babe. And I'll act humble. I'll say, What is that? What is that, Lourdes? Practice. And Jesus will say, well, I'm rewarding you. What, for Mega Babe? Yes, for Mega Babe. And he'll say two things. He'll say, firstly, when you had that idea in the boardroom of your church, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. You gave us 1.5 years of thorough entertainment. And I want to thank you. In amongst the seriousness of ministry and in amongst the major world problems, the Holy Spirit, myself and the Father and Michael and Gabriel laughed. We lolled. So this reward is just for making us lol so much in heaven. And secondly, Dave, it was the sign of an awesome attempt. How about the keyboard player coming up? And play something fun. So that's the beginning of our community ministry. A disaster. So now we're like, I don't know, like 15 years on, and we've created a ministry called City Hearts. So now we're talking. And City Hearts is a ministry for people rescued from, we used to call it human trafficking, now we call it human slavery. And so in Britain, people are trucked in from Eastern Europe and from Northern Africa, and they come into Britain because they get more money, the traders get more money. And so we set up a number of safe houses across England. And the police break into the brothels, and the women come out of the brothels and break into labor camps and the gypsy camps, and the police give us men that are coming out of the gypsy camps, and some of the women have children with them. And last year, through City Hearts, we secretly housed 250 women and men, and secretly housed 150 children, and secretly housed 30 babies from being raped in the brothels, that are now alive and well. You'll never know their history. You'll just know the anointing. But you'll never know their history as they marry into people with perfect Christian backgrounds. It's rescuing a generation from the greatest scar of this world today. It's rescuing a generation. So that's me. I'm just saying that. You have to have a mega babe. Before you have a city heart. I've got to be proud of my beggar babe because my beggar babe was the beginning of city heart. I think you just need to see your failures and not crucify yourself so much. What I've recognized, just to finish with, is most inventions come out of failure. Most Christian success stories come out of default, not design. I'll finish on this, that for my life, like I did civil engineering. I'm amazed I actually did it because I'm nothing like a civil engineer. But, you know, I failed third year because number one, I got kicked out of the college I was living in for, it's another story. And that's the year I became a Christian. So just to show my age, I went to Sydney University from 1978 to 1982, right? And and when I went for the job interview with Civil and Civic in the center of Sydney, in the highest skyscraper in Sydney, to the board meeting, I thought I'm going to get away with it because 82 minus 78 looks like I was at university for 4 years. And the interview is going great. I was the last of two people left in the entire fourth year civil engineering. And one of the board members said, hang on a second. I knew within 60 seconds I'd be out of the building. He said, this is 5 years, isn't it? Hi. And you know, I had to get a clearing job and I worked for Pioneer Concrete on their management scheme, but it was like a clearing job for engineers that were too dumb to get proper jobs. And they took me 1,000 miles from Sydney, they took me 1,000 miles, and they put me in Brisbane. And in Brisbane, within a short period of time, I met my wife that I've been married to for like 31 years. It was the beginning of the youth ministry that then launched us apostolically to Great Britain. Everything happened in Brisbane. But I got to Brisbane because of failure. So it's good news that I failed that year. Because it mapped me into the plans of God. Your failures, once forgiven by God, if you had irresponsibility attached to it, once forgiven and cleansed by God, are your gift. They're your gift for ministry. They're your gift for business. They're your gift for flourishing. They're your gift for future adventure. They're your gift towards your city hearts. You just need to look at your life a little bit differently. Finish with three words. Get up. Brush yourself down. Try again. Father, let the spirit of hope saturate. Let the spirit of expectation flood the dryness of people's hearts, God. And Father, let every person in this room know that once forgiven, it's a stitch up, that something incredible is about to happen. And Father, let those who have had loved ones taken away from them, those that have had failures and tragedies within their life, know that that's why you mentioned 100 times. For those that have lost brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, shall in this life, and in the life to come, be given 100 times that which they've lost. And I thank you, Father, that you are the great restorer and that you are restoring everything that's been taken from our lives, that you will give back to us, pressed down, and shaken together, and running all over. In Jesus' name.